Assalamu alaikum. This is going to be an exciting episode. We got Tucker Carlson asking the question, what is the jinn?
Power was because he could call upon what they call jinn, genies, and he could command them with his ring, the ring of Solomon, the ring of power. And that's what so the real lore of like masonry, right, was that he had this builder, Hiram Abiff, who could, you know, who architected the temple of Solomon, but they had jinn that they called upon to actually do the work and to build it. Now that's all metaphor.
And what are jinn?
And that's where we come in. We'll cover the slander and lies around the great prophet of God, Suleiman, Solomon, and many of the other prophets whom God Almighty gave a miracle of being able to control the jinn by God Almighty Allah's permission. We have Oliver Stone's son, the famous Hollywood producer, his son Sean Stone, also talks about what appears to be his communication with the jinn.
In that time period, I would get phone calls from 666 numbers all the time. 666-6666. We want your soul. Like just demonic voices. I want your soul. All this kind of nonsense.
So Satan called your cell.
I mean, I don't know if, you know, if it was Satan or this.
They get into him and Tucker, Freemasons, these secret societies, the occult, and we'll be touching upon the channeling, possession, how jinn deceive people through different means, and the UFOs and aliens being one of them. These are the jinn, actually. We're going to break down all this from the Islamic perspective. This is one of the missing pieces, a major missing piece of the puzzle that Tucker Carlson, who loves talking about this, needs to look into, and anybody else. And most Muslims only have good things to say about Tucker. Many are praying and making dua that God Almighty guides him because he's been talking, taking a positive turn and speaking a lot of truth. So I hope and pray that this message, this episode gets to him. You guys do your part and send it to him. And inshallah, God willing, if Allah wills, we'll be speaking to Tucker soon, inshallah. Enjoy this episode of The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
Now, before I bring out my next guest, who's part of a team that have been investigating this topic that Tucker Carlson just opened up with his guest, and they got into, he's written an essay on this. He's somebody who's very well-informed. We'll bring him out in a second, but let's go ahead and get into this clip that we're going to be discussing. Filmmaker Oliver Stone's son, Sean Stone, and Tucker Carlson on the topic of the jinn.
Interested where the ancient texts.
You want to get to the well of souls.
The well of souls, the ancient texts, the things that were, you know, written into like grimoires and hidden, you know, incantations, things that you could basically call upon the spiritual realm, because that's the lore of King Solomon. King Solomon, as we remember from the Bible, you know, he had wisdom and he was a powerful ruler over what was then it?
Richest man in the world.
Well, he had the gold, but why did he have the power? Was because he could call upon what they call jinn, genies, and he could command them with his ring, the ring of Solomon, the ring of power. And that's what so the real lore of like masonry, right, was that he had this builder, Hiram Abiff, who could, you know, who architected the temple of Solomon, but they had jinn that they called upon to actually do the work and to build it. Now that's all metaphor.
And what are jinn?
Genies. What we would call genies in Aladdin's lamp. They are the beings. And so I went to Iran the first time was curiosity, but I went to go meet with some of these guys that communicate to them, to the other side. And I would talk to them about, you know, what's going on in the world. And they would say, yeah, I mean, the jinn in Islamic lore is very similar to like ancient.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, brother Eddie. How are you?
I'm good, alhamdulillah. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, very, very good. Sakla khair, inshallah.
Now, the last time we were together, we were actually in person in the UK, in London, and we were discussing Tucker Carlson, and he was talking about the jinn. Well, he didn't say the jinn at that time, did he? He was with Joe Rogan, and they were discussing UFOs and aliens, which were actually, we unpackaged it. It was actually the jinn. Now we got him again. with Sean Stone. And I believe, are you familiar with this? His father's a very famous producer and of many films. And he also, I believe his son, Sean Stone, Oliver Stone's son, he, I believe in 2012, he accepted Islam.
Oh, mashallah. No, I'm not aware of them, to be honest. This was the first time I saw content by him. So it's very interesting, though, what he said.
Yeah, and you yourself, you're part of a team. When we met, you were explaining to me a part of a team that was really digging deep into the aliens, UFOs, and letting the public now coming out this time discussing this matter, that this is actually the world of the jinn, which they actually just mentioned it now. And then Tucker's asking him, what are the jinn? It's a great chance for us to actually explain, since he's really getting fascinated with this topic, like many people are. What are your thoughts on this clip?
Yeah, so there's several things to be said here, bro, but I think a couple of important things which people should pay attention to. Number one, that, you know, it's rare to see people mention the jinn. Many of these guys, these movers and shakers, people from the government, ex-CIA, you know, people from the occult, they may mention these beings, but they don't refer to them as the jinn. On one or two occasions where they have, they retracted what they've said, or they've faced a lot of backlash. There's many examples of this. But it's nice and refreshing to see someone actually call the jinn, right? Now, obviously, this is what we refer to them from the Islamic tradition. These entities or beings have been referred to many things throughout history in many different civilizations and cultures. But what's unique about Islam is that it gives us a lot of insight into who these beings are, their nature, why they deceive people, you know, who they follow, what they do, how they trick us. All the details are given within Islam, within the grand, you know, cosmic picture. You know, everything is put into place, and it's very powerful. So it's very, I think, for non-Muslims who are interested as well, they should definitely look into what the Quran has to say in regards to these entities and these beings, the jinn. There's a whole chapter called the chapter of the jinn on these beings. And in specific, Brother Eddie, related to what you're saying about King Solomon or Sulaiman alayhi salam, I think it's important to clarify this for people. A lot of people that research Solomon or the Prophet Solomon, and as he's known, or Sulaiman alayhi salam, they are misinformed in regards to his connection with the jinn. And I think it's important for people to realize this. A lot of these people claim that that Solomon himself was engaging in rituals, that he was practicing certain magical rituals and so on, and invoking or bringing upon these entities and trying to control these entities, and that he had books written, etc. And then that later on these books were discovered, or the Knights Templars went in and accessed these books, or maybe even people prior to them accessed these books. But the reality is, again, the Quran removes these, you know, misrepresentations. For example, in the second chapter of the Quran, verse 102, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God clearly outlines that the Prophet Solomon was free of these entities or these beings, or, you know, or disbelief. And that includes, you know, engaging in these types of practices. We know from the Islamic tradition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself gave the command over the jinn to Sulaiman alayhi salam, this ability. It was by the leave of God. It wasn't through rituals or magical practices. However, if you read the tafasir, if you read the exegesis on this particular verse, and you look at the classical scholars, something they clearly mention, you can read this in Ibn Kathir as well, is that Allah gave Sulaiman alayhi salam power over the jinn to control them and command them. At the very same time, during those times, the shayateen, the evil amongst the jinn, were teaching people black arts, magic, etc. You know, and these people were writing books and all of this stuff. So what Sulaiman alayhi salam did, according to these exegeses, is he gathered all of these books on magic and occult practices to remove them from society, to take them away from people so that people didn't commit shirk or fall into, you know, worshipping these entities or do things that would go against the law of God. And he buried these books, according to Ibn Kathir, under his throne. So it wasn't that he had written these books or he was practicing these books and they, you know, therefore they are found or supposedly found there, etc. It's because he was removing these books from society because people were engaging in these practices. And then apparently, as Ibn Kathir further outlines, that after the passing of Sulaiman alayhi salam, that the shayateen emerged to the people and then led people to where these books were buried, and they discovered these books. And once they discovered these books, the shayateen lied again, and they said that Sulaiman was practicing, alayhi salam, was practicing this stuff. These belonged to him, And, you know, these books have amazing things you can benefit from and amazing arts and all of this type of stuff. So, again, we see the deceptive nature of Iblis and his minions, the shayateen, the evil amongst the jinn, acting out at that point in history. Now, obviously, there's a whole discussion whether they accessed all the books, some are remaining, or they accessed them and then put them back, and then the Knights Templars went in and took them back and brought them to Europe, etc. So there's a whole, you know, this particular discussion goes into it in some detail. But I thought it was important to clarify that, because a lot of people have this misunderstanding that Solomon, King Solomon, Suleiman alayhi salam, the prophet of God, was engaging in these. No, he wasn't. He was given command over these entities, as well as command over many other things, but it wasn't through practices or dark arts. It was through the leave of God. God gave him command over these entities.
Let's touch upon your team that I mentioned and the essay. You cover all of this stuff in your essay, and then what made you guys actually put a team together? Last time we met, you were explaining that, and bring us up to speed where you're at with that now.
Yeah, so the team, there's a small team we put together. It's called IREP, Islamic Research into Exotic Phenomena. I published an article with Sapience Institute. Sapience is the organization I currently work with, you know, and may Allah bless them. They're very forward thinking in their approach to the dawah. So then we're not only dealing with things that are happening now, we're preempting what's coming and trying to address those issues and challenges as well. And this is one of those things we saw back then that, okay, there is this new belief emerging about these extraterrestrial beings and these, you know, godlike creatures that are going to come down and teach us something new. And they're going to, you know, guide us to a new future and all of this type of stuff, all of this type of myth that's being woven into the whole UFO topic. And through our research, what we realized was that most likely what this phenomenon, as it's referred to, is its jinn manifestations, the jinn reappearing to human beings once again in the modern world and taking on this new form, which should be appealing to the masses. Similar, very in a very similar way to have the, as they have done throughout history, you know, in the ancient times appearing as gods, appearing to people so that people were in awe of them and fell into their worship. So we've traced those links, you know, and the article that was originally published, I believe in 2022, 2023, if I'm not mistaken, it's on the Sapience Institute website. We also have a booklet now, which me and Brother Farouk and McDermott have co-authored. You can get that on Amazon. It's called The Jinn Hypothesis, or you can download it for free on the Sapience Institute website as well. But those specific pieces of work are related to the UFO topic in specific. However, when you dive into this whole UFO topic, you realize very quickly that it's not just about seeing craft in the sky. You know, there's so much more going on. There's this whole paranormal aspect to the UFO topic. There's this whole psychic aspect to the UFO topic. There's also, like Tucker Carlson's recent interview that you just shared, there's all of these other dimensions to this whole topic, which seem to suggest more strongly that, even more so, that this topic is linked to the jinn.
Let's go ahead and continue on with this interview. There's another part, exactly what you were talking about. They get into Suleiman. And we're also going to be, like you've been doing, continue to clear his name from these slanders.
The jinn in Islamic lore is very similar to like angels and demons or the watchers in the Book of Enoch, right?
Yes.
Who are not, they're both dark and light. Some serve God, some serve the dark side. And so the idea of like the power of Solomon was to be able to have a relationship and mastery. And some people say that he actually got overwhelmed by the power, and that's why he fell, right? He ended up with the love affair that sort of sank his rulership, because it's a very dangerous gambit once you start communing with that side. But I believe all the initiatory paths, Freemasonry is just one of them, the most famous one, lead you to that realm, to the understanding that there's spiritual forces invisible to us that are working through people in this world. And just because someone is a so-called Christian doesn't mean they're serving God. And just because someone is a Muslim doesn't mean they're serving the devil. That it's the same across the entire planet, that there are forces of dark and light working through every religion, every people, even through our own lifetime, our own souls. You know, at any point when you grow up in Hollywood or whatnot, you realize.
Your thoughts?
So a couple of points. Firstly, he mentions and he makes the link between the jinn and the concept of fallen angels or the watchers that is found predominantly in the Book of Enoch. Firstly, okay, you need to commend the fact that he's making these links. It's very interesting and nice to see that someone's trying to make these connections and mention the jinn. However, something for people to realize is that this concept within Christianity, this concept of fallen angels and the watchers, it wasn't really a highly developed idea prior to the Book of Enoch, which is about 300 BC, if I'm not mistaken, give or take around that time. So within Christianity, prior to this, the idea of Satan, the idea of demonic beings and entities and spirits, it wasn't very clear. There was mention of these things, but it wasn't very clear. And therefore, if you look at the academic research on the Book of Enoch, now the Book of Enoch is, you can argue, the first document, 300 BC, around that time, which speaks about the concept of fallen angels and the watchers and all of these things and the stuff they did in a lot more clear detail. Now, the academics seem to, some of them suggest that this was a later development, and the reason it was developed, these ideas, was because the Christian theologians were struggling to account for evil and suffering in this world. So they had to explain this phenomenon of evil and suffering, also recognizing that God is all powerful, the most merciful, the most loving, etc. So hence they developed, or there's this idea of the development of the idea of fallen angels, beings that come from the heavenly realm, which sow discord and disruption and all of this stuff on the earth. And therefore, this is why also the scholars mentioned that, you know, because there was ideas of demons and other bad spirits, but they didn't ascribe this evil to them, because if they did that, then they would have to explain, what is a demon? Where do they come from? And they didn't have this information. So it made more sense, and it seems like it was easier to say, oh, angels, because they knew about angels, some of them fell, some of them disobeyed God, fell to the earth, and they were the source of all of the evil and corruption and all of this stuff, right? So from an Islamic perspective, this is not, again, this is the powerful thing about Islam and the Quran, is it clarifies all of this. Where all of this confusion exists, it removes it. Now, it's important to be very nuanced and clear here, that yes, within our tradition, early on, there was some of the scholars, they had this view that that Iblis, Shaitan, who we call Iblis, who in Christian terms would be called Satan, Lucifer, etc. Some of them believed that he was a fallen angel. Okay. However, the predominant view today, and I think the stronger view based on the evidences at hand, is that he was the jinn. And many of the evidences for this, for example, he himself in the Quran says, you know, Allah says he was from the jinn, min al jinn. He says when refusing to bow to Adam, he says, I am created of fire. He is made of clay. So here he outlines himself to be a creation made of fire. And we know the angels are made of light. So he separates himself from those, that creation. And there's many other evidences to suggest that Iblis, this character, Shaitan, is a jinn and not an angel. Okay, but it's important to mention that. And I think some of the early scholars who had that view that he was a fallen angel were influenced probably some of the Israeli art and potentially the Book of Enoch, which was in circulation most likely at the time. But the Quran clarifies this. He was a jinn. He was not an angel. So within Islam, we have a very clear category which solves the problem now. It's not the angels that fall. Even within early Christian texts, the angels are known to be obedient to God. They don't disobey God. So Islam here clarifies everything. Yes, there's the angels. They don't disobey God. They obey God. There's human beings who can choose to obey or disobey God. They have that level of free will. And then there is also the jinn, who also have free will. And Satan was the jinn. These demons, these evil entities, these ghosts, whatever you want to call them, are from the realm of the jinn. So it's important to make that clarification that Islam solves this conundrum and irons everything out for people and humanity. You know, so again, another reason for people researching this, to read the Quran and study it, because there's a lot more information in regards to these entities or these beings. So I think that was the most important point in that particular clip. He does go on to sort of mention Solomon again, and, you know, it's not, you know, it had an effect on him, all this stuff. Again, read the Quran in regards to the life of Solomon, the prophet, peace be upon him. You know, you will get a lot of clarity on who he was, what he did. He wasn't engaging in dark arts. He was given control of the jinn by the leave of God. God gave him this gift, if you like. He also had the control over the winds and the animal kingdom and so on and so forth. So this was not through dabbling in dark arts. This was through the leave of God, because God is the creator. He's in control of all things.
This was one of the miracles given to him.
Yes, you could say that. Yes. And this is why the Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he mentioned that this was a kingdom. Once he caught a jinn during the salah, that this was something that was given to his brother, you know, Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. So he didn't want to capture him or you know, etc. And this is why it's also generally one of the reasons is discouraged to engage with these entities or to, you know, benefit or try to benefit from these entities, because that's a very slippery slope. So I think the point he made there about this stuff is dangerous and shouldn't be dabbled with is correct. You don't want to be messing around with these entities or these beings. Mm-hmm. However, I think he subtly is also suggesting that Freemasonry is not something it's quite neutral. It's probably something quite good. And again, I was talking to people involved in it. And as you probably, Brother Eddie, know as well, this stuff is highly involved with these entities. He himself says within the podcast at one point that when he was engaging in that ritual for the first degree or to be initiated, that these entities were present. When he was walking home from the ritual, someone called him and there were some entities or something on the phone that were seeing him or watching him. These things are malevolent beings. Now we know there's good amongst the jinn too, so it's important to clarify this. However, the good jinn don't interfere with human affairs. They stay to themselves. They have their own life to worry about. It's almost always the evil jinn that manipulate and interfere with their lives. And Freemasonry is heavily involved in ritualistic practices that are traced back to these ancient texts on, you know, occult texts, magic texts, and they are inevitably linked to the jinn and the shayateen. So be very careful. Don't engage in this type of stuff.
Yeah, that's great advice. This is let's take it back to what he was talking about, Suleiman. This is very important that if Tucker or anybody really wants to take it to the next level, they should, is go read the Quran. You have to look at the context of everything in Islam. And one thing, when we go back to, let's talk a little bit more about this slander. And you can not just put this to Suleiman, but all the prophets. For instance, I believe this, in the book of Kings, it talks about how Suleiman, who went off and he drifted off because of women, because of love affair, and saying that then he went on to worship false deities. This is a clear, blatant lie, and this is a slander. Same thing with Lot and his daughters, the incest that happened between them, Noah being a drunkard, Abraham, and the list goes on. Those people, those enemies of the prophets at that time, you can say that these are the people, because Kings is an anonymous book. It's multiple authors. We don't know who's writing those books, right? So now probably his enemies now are the people who are putting these fabrications, a lot of folk tales and things in there. Can you comment on that? Because this is very important, because now you set a precedence, like the prophets who are supposed to be infallible. They don't commit major sins. They might make some have human shortcomings, but now if they are the ones who now we cannot look up to as having perfect character, now that's one of the biggest traps by the jinn, the shayateen, that then who am I? Who am I as a human? Yeah. I don't have something or somebody as a higher standard that I can copy. If the prophets can fall like that, then who am I? Can you discuss this?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's a very intuitive point that you've made, Brother Eddie. It makes sense on many levels, that if these are guides from God, that God has sent these representatives in the form of these prophets, you know, may peace, the peace and blessings of God be upon them all. They came as examples, exemplary examples for humanity. Now, to claim that they did X, Y, or Z and fell into this sin and acted out immorally in this way or that way, it doesn't make any sense. Now, the question I'd ask, with all due respect to our Christian brothers and sisters, and I, you know, we wish guidance for all of us, including them, is that to really ask yourself, is it befitting of the prophets to engage in these ways, those that are exemplary guides for humanity, you know, sent by God, chosen by God? I mean, I don't think we have to go further than this. And this again brings in the point that the shayateen, the evil jinn, these entities, you know, have an objective to mislead human beings. Their leader, Iblis, Shaitan, who Allah outlines, God outlines in the Quran. And the reason he hates us so much is outlined in the Quran as well, which we could probably get into in a second. But he wants to misguide people, and he will do it any means possible. He will do it any way he can. And you also see a pattern in the way he's engaged with humanity or misleading humanity throughout history. He would always appear to people subtly, you know, after the prophets had left, or after, you know, initially people would want to remember this prophet or this figure. Then they'll build a statue. Then eventually he'll come to them and whisper to them, okay, you've built the statue, but start worshiping through the statue. It becomes a means of directing your worship. And then the people eventually over the centuries and decades start to worship these statues and move away from worshiping God. They essentially commit shirk, which is associating deities or partners with God. So Iblis, he works gradually in steps, and it's the same pattern you see throughout history. And I even believe, you know, based on my research, I think you see his involvement in the development of many of the religions and how they have changed over the centuries. Even Paul's vision, right? I mean, if you think about it, with all due respect, and I think John Keel, one of the main ufologist researchers from back in the day in the 60s and 70s, he actually looked into this as well. And one of the things he outlined was that Paul's vision, I mean, ultimately, he just saw a light on the road, you know, as he was moving. And then this light, he had this vision and it gave him a message. How do we know? There's no way of saying that. If anything, from the Islamic perspective, knowing that what he brought, you know, and how Christianity changed after this vision, I would argue that it most likely was a vision that was stimulated by the shayateen, the evil jinn. It's possible, because God, the message has always been the same. Abraham, Moses, Noah, all of the prophets, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Jesus, peace be upon him, worship God alone. He is uniquely one. He has no partners. He created you. You will return to him, right? The message has fundamentally always been the same. And suddenly there's a blip. You know, if you look at it on a rule, for example, you have all the prophets, Abraham, Noah, Moses, all of them saying one God, one God, one God, one God. Suddenly Jesus, peace be upon him, Trinity, triune Godhead, etc. All of these ideas from Paul that come in. This is a blip in the data. It's not making sense. Right? It just doesn't make it. Even the concept of the Trinity, and I'm sure you've discussed this on your show many, many times, doesn't make sense on so many levels. And the crazy thing is that the Trinity is according to the Christians, this is God, right? This is the center of your faith, right? This is what your faith revolves around. Now, if you can't understand that, and many of the scholars would say it's a mystery, don't even touch it. Well, if you can't understand who the creator is, how are you going to worship him? You know, how are you going to know him? So it's a big thing, you know. And I would say that, look, if you look at the red letter Bible, for example, and see what Jesus said, Jesus, peace be upon him, always called to the Father in heaven. And again, the term Father is, again, in the English, and if you go back, it doesn't mean what it means in a modern day vernacular, etc. There's all these issues. But essentially, Jesus always pointed back towards one God. Moses pointed back towards the one creator. Noah pointed back towards the one creator. However, we see the interference by the shayateen, these evil jinn who want to mislead us throughout history. And they've gradually worked their way into many of the world religions and tried to tweak them and manipulate them to mislead the masses.
He talks about his experience, the Sean Stone, that after he came back from this Masonic lounge of Freemason meeting, that his phone rang. And he talks about, I don't know if you got to that part.
Yeah,
you did. You saw that part.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that part. Yeah.
So for the audience, explain what that was. Kind of weird. It's just like, okay, who's calling him? And it's like somebody's checking up on him, and it seems like this is the jinn. Like, what is your take on that part?
I found it interesting. It's not surprising. I've heard many such accounts.
You have
because the reality is, if you read Dr. Umar al-Ashkar's book, The World of the Jinn and Devils, he outlines that the shayateen, although their primary mechanism of affecting us may be waswasa, you know, these whisperings that they give us, however, they can manifest in other ways. They can impact us in other ways, right? Wow. And he shares some of these accounts. So what this man is experiencing here is not something unusual. These shayateen are obviously interfering or manipulating this technology, the cell phone, and speaking to him through it somehow. Allah knows best the mechanism. But they are seeing him, even behind closed doors when he's in his house. What I found really interesting was he says he was wearing a necklace with some sort of Islamic symbol or something. And when he was about to take his shirt off, the lady on the phone or this entity said to him, put the shirt back on. And they said it to him to do it a few times. You know, and I think that subtly illustrates, if you like, the power of the Islamic tradition. These entities don't like even a remotely associated symbol with Islam. I think it was some sort of random symbol, something remotely associated with Islam. So you can only imagine how they may react when the Quran is recited, right? And we know of this. If you look at Raqis, people that do Ruqya, you know, the shayateen, the evil, the jinn, they cannot handle the Quran. We've been speaking to someone. I recently had a talk with a lady who was channeling these entities. And they didn't want to admit that they were the jinn. And as soon as one of the brothers recited Ayatul Kursi, they started to act in a very frantic way, in a very frazzled type of way. So these entities, you know, you can tell what these things are. They manifest in many different ways. They manifest as cryptids. They manifest as strange creatures. I believe they're manifesting as this whole UFO phenomenon, these alien greys nowadays. Because again, we mentioned this in the last podcast. People can go and watch it because I think we go into a lot of detail in that. But I mean, if you want to mislead the 21st century, the techno secular mind, you know, the secular atheistic mind, the best way to do it is to take on a form which they will be in awe of. Now, what form will they be in awe of? Well, if a highly evolved, intelligent alien life from another part of the galaxy who's far more superior to human beings, millions of years more superior technologically, well, that's something we will be in awe of. The modern man and woman will be in awe of. And once you get the people in a state of awe, then they're ready to worship. And this is the trick. It's the same strategy. Same effect as the gods of the past had on the people of the past. They were in awe of these gods, and then they fell into worship of them. Same thing today, just the different guys.
When you talk about the jinn, most of the time, many of these groups come up. The Freemasons, you have with these demonic rituals, you have the secret society, the Knight Templars. And what are your, because you have some Muslims actually, surprisingly, that have also kind of joined some of these groups. And on face value, for anybody who's just kind of like, you know, looking into it, they say, oh, they do some charity, they're just kind of like a fraternity. But when you go deeper, you see they actually, even you have many Christians calling out, they were part of it, but then they saw that they actually have when you go deeper, they really get into some really bizarre, crazy, you know, things that you're worshiping another deity. You know, you have the three levels, you have the 3 degrees. When you first come in, you have the apprentice, fellow craftsman, the master mason. They just keep bringing you in. You have to actually swear, almost make like a curse that if you divulge any of these secrets to anybody, that may you be, your throat be slit. You're basically calling a curse upon yourself and your family members if you divulge any of these secrets. Then you, I believe, you have the Scottish Rite, you have the York Rite. How much have you looked into this, and how much is the jinn connected with this group?
Yeah, so my analysis of this has been that all of these groups, Freemasonry, the Illuminati, and all of these other secret societies, they are heavily involved with the jinn. And they are worshipping the jinn under one name or the other, or a group of jinn under one name or the other. And what's really interesting, Brother Eddie, is that the way they work, they take the methodology of Iblis himself in their approach. So, for example, gradual steps, you know, the different degrees of masonry. And it's funny, as people earlier on in these groups or that join masonry, they're not even aware of this reality.
No.
You know, many times I've come across Muslim masons and I've spoken to them, and you tell them this stuff, they have no idea. Mm-hmm. Right? Like you said, we do charity, we get together. It's all about just sharing ideas and, you know, having a good time.
That's the front, yep, to get people in.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, and the thing is, it's called the psychology of previous investment. Imagine you join this society. Now, there's something novel about it, unique, you know, it's secret. You're a part of this elite group. It's quite exciting for people to do stuff like this. Now, imagine you spend 4 or 5 years with this society. There's this whole investment of time and energy and relationships, you know. So by the time you get to the point, say 5, 6, 7, 10 years down the line, and you're at the degree now where you're let into some of these darker secrets, you're so invested, mm-hmm, and you've been conditioned over time subtly that you don't care. You want to be a part of that stuff, you know. You're gone by that time. Imagine if these things were told to the people just going for their first ever meeting, most people will probably run, right? Yeah. But they're not. It's subtle, it's gradual, you know. So and the shayateen work in this way as well. So yeah, people need to be very careful with this stuff. And Brother Eddie, one more thing. You had that same type of phenomena is appearing amongst the youth in certain parts of the world, unfortunately, today as well. Muslims, where they are now trying to engage in some of these protocols to bring about contact with what they call these ET intelligences, extraterrestrial beings, highly enlightened, spiritually developed extraterrestrial beings. Same thing. You're being duped. You're being lied to. These are not ET. These are not extraterrestrial. These are the jinn and shayateen masquerading in just a new form. That's all it is, to misguide you ultimately. That's the end game, to mislead you, to take you away from the truth, to take you away from fulfilling the purpose of your life, which is to know your creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God, and to worship him. That's the ultimate goal. That's the end goal.
Well, before we conclude, tell me, what would you tell Tucker Carlson? He's been talking about this. He's into it. And it'd be nice to have someone like you actually connect with him or somebody else who's on this side to kind of get him more informed. What advice would you have for Tucker?
So firstly, I'd like to say, I think from what I've seen of Tucker Carlson, he seems to be a very genuine, honest guy who's on this journey to discover what's really going on. Mm-hmm. And I commend him for that. And I know he's made some trips to the Middle East as well, recently or not too long ago. He's come across the idea of jinn. At least this podcast may have been his first introduction. I would encourage him, you know, to just look into this further. Look into what Islam has to say in regards to these entities who they refer to as the watchers or the fallen angels. We call them the jinn. Look into what Islam says, what their abilities are, what they do, why they do what they do, why they hate us so much. All of the information is there within the Quran. And I'll really encourage, and I know sometimes for the secular mind or even for our Christian friends, you know, when you mention Islam or the Quran, there's almost this barrier that comes up because of all of this negative misinformation that's been out there about Islam over the past few decades. And the shayateen obviously have a hand to play in this as well. I mean, the Epstein files have revealed some of this to us recently. But just to look past that for a moment, even if you approach the Quran as a historical document, even if you don't believe in it, just approach it, right? Just honestly approach it, see what it says. You know, and if you are honest, as God says, God guides. Anyone that's honest and wants to know the truth, Allah will guide them. You know, God will guide them. And you will find some fascinating things in the Quran which will help you connect the dots in regards to this whole phenomena, whether you're looking at it from the perspective of UFOs or the occult or these evil demonic entities or, you know, whatever angle you're looking at. The jinn, the concept of jinn as outlined in Islam, the information that we've been given in the Quran about the jinn, provides us with a model, an entity, a being, conceptually, that can make sense of and account for every single paranormal phenomena that's been witnessed, you know, for God knows how long. And all of the UFO phenomenon, it explains everything that's going on in the occult. It explains everything that's going on in these secret societies, etc. It's all there in the Quran. That's the amazing thing. That's what people are missing. You know, and obviously these forces, you know, whether they're from the metaphysical realm or the physical realm, they want you to stay away from this divine knowledge. They don't want you to access the truth which is contained within the Quran. They will do anything to keep you away from this final revelation, which is for the whole of humanity. It's not for the Arabs. It's not for the Pakistanis or the Indians or a certain group of people or a certain culture or a certain race. It's for the whole of humanity. It's all there. For Tucker Carlson, I'll really encourage him. If he's interested in the UFO stuff or the occult stuff, I'll be more than happy to engage him if he wants to sort of, you know, talk about this or discuss this any further, privately, publicly, not an issue. You know, we can, if, or Brother Eddie, whoever he wants to touch base with, we're more than happy to inform him, to discuss these points, to learn from him as well, see what he knows, because he's talked to a lot of people. But yeah, that would be my message for him. Just stay sincere and honest on your journey, as we all should. Keep looking, and you'll find some fascinating things within Islam in regards to this stuff.
This is definitely, for someone into this, another piece, a major piece to the puzzle right here. The Quran, Islam, and obviously we know the Quran is the verbatim word of God Almighty. It's the truth. And of course, the devils don't want you to be invested to look into the truth. So you're going to obviously, just food for thought for him and anybody else out there who's seeking the truth, is that they're going to put so many obstacles. They're going to make look Islam like the other. They're going to go ahead and put all this junk over the treasure, right? Make people, you know, have so many stereotypes and prejudices against it. But if you're sincere and you're asking the Creator to guide you, then God Almighty Allah will facilitate a way. Going back to just what came to my mind, these phenomenons that you mentioned, like when they made the golden calf, obviously they didn't just worship it because of the calf, it's because the jinn came in, made that sound, right? Or when somebody has some, because we know that you mentioned Paul and visions and whatnot, these phenomena, that when we know that dreams can come in different types. You can have the ramblings of your mind, you can have the devil, right? Or inspiration from God. But now you have people who have these jinn experiences, or somebody. I remember one time I was in a cab, and the person, we were going back and forth and talking, and he was stuck on this miracle that happened to him. And it wasn't nothing intellectual, academic. He was like, no, Jesus saved me. I said, how? Because I had my arm and I couldn't move it. And then somebody prayed over it and said, name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I said, that's the jinn, because the jinn can come in and you can have it affecting the part of your body. And now you committed shirk, which is one of the worst crimes you can do. Associating partners with God, you call on another deity, and then the jinn leaves. And now you think that, okay, because of this created being or this person that incantation was recited over, that you're healed. But the only one that truly heals is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Is this correct?
Absolutely, Brother Eddie. And there's so many examples of this where some of these magicians or channelers, they may, you know, send a jinn to cause an affliction upon a person within their body, and then the person comes to them, and then all they do is just remove that jinn, and
that's exactly,
the effect is gone.
And
that's the deception. That's an element of deception. And the person thinks they've been healed because of so-and-so, and because they prayed to so-and-so, you know. And I think this is another very interesting thing. I encourage our Christian friends and brothers and sisters in humanity to really look into the history of religion as well. The prophets always brought the very clear, intuitive, rational message about God, which is he's uniquely one. He has no partners. He is the creator. The creator is not like his creation. As Allah says, Laysa kamithlihi shay, there is no equal to him. There's no likeness to God in any way, shape, or form. There's no kufu. There is nothing similar. There's no similitude. God is uniquely one, the eternal, without beginning, without end. As soon as you start to say God becomes flesh, became man, died, suffered, didn't know, etc., etc., this is not God anymore. You're not speaking about God. And this is the type of ultimate deception that the shayateen and the evil jinn want you to go down. So, and I think this is important to highlight. And again, I don't say this to offend anybody, just for people to reflect. Sometimes you see that, you know, certain demonologists will come and pray in the name of Jesus, and, you know, the person possessed, that the evil entity leaves them and the possession is over. And people ask, even Muslims ask, well, why is this happening? You know, why is it happening in the name of Jesus? Well, I always highlight to them, hold on, well, what is the ultimate objective of shaitan, of Iblis? It's to take people away from the worship of God. Now, by removing himself in the name of Jesus, he's just confirmed that belief that Jesus is God. Essentially, he's confirmed their shirk is leading them further down that dark path. So his ultimate objective is met. You know, so just because he's left, and although it seems like to the people he left because it was done in the name of Jesus, no, he left to enforce that type of shirk within the person's mind. You know, so this is important for people to realize. Once you know who God is, and you recognize he's uniquely one, he has no partners, he has no parts, he doesn't come into his existence. He's the creator of all existence. He's perfect in every way, shape, or form. You know, God is perfect. As soon as you say he becomes something other than God by coming into his creation, you're removing him from perfection. This is not God anymore. This is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not the creator of the heavens and the earth. If you can realize that, and then if you got that clear understanding of who God is, everything else will start to fall into place. You'll start to see the patterns and the lines of deception that Iblis, you know, or the webs that he weaves to mislead people and lead people further down these deceptive paths and into shirk. It's the same game. It's the same game, Brother Eddie, that's been carried out, the same ways, same strategies throughout history, just different faces. That's all it is.
Thank you. So it was our special guest from Sapiens Institute. Give my salams to Hamza Zorsis. How's he doing?
Will do, inshallah. Yeah. So, yeah, he's good. He's good, busy. Alhamdulillah.
Right. That's Sapiens Institute. that's where people can learn more about you. And also, you guys have, tell us a little bit, they can connect there.
Yeah, so Sapiens Institute, you can search it on Google. All of our, we have loads of free courses, books, materials, inshallah. We have the academy. And then if you're interested in this topic specifically, you can find a lot more resources on my channel. It's called Epistemics, Imran Hussein Epistemics, E-P-I-S-T-E-M-I-X. I've got several videos and actually uploaded the discussion with the group of Shayateen that were channeling through this lady a few days ago. So you can go and listen to that, because and you'll see how they try to lie about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the nature of God and the deception that they weave. So that's there. And there's a lot more resources there as well, inshallah.
Wait, you actually have a video of a jinn possession that is on video?
Yeah, so it's a slightly different form. So it's not what you'd consider a typical possession where the shayateen is speaking through the person and the person is not in control. Yeah. It's more of a channeling type of possession, I would say, where they are speaking to her and she's basically getting these images and information in her head, and then she's speaking or saying what they've told her to say. Mm-hmm. So we were speaking to this lady and we're telling her how these entities that she's believed to be good all this time, they may actually be the evil jinn, the shayateen. Mm. And as soon as we say that to her, they apparently come to her and they start channeling through her. And they start to, then they come up with all of these strange ideas about God, and we correct, we clarify those things for them. And by extension, inshallah, a lot of people that were listening in, because we had a lot of non-Muslims listening in too, inshallah, they will receive the message of Islam too through that. And when I asked them specifically, are they recognized as the jinn amongst the Arabs? The first thing they say is, we've been known as many different things throughout history. Wow. And then I say, okay, no, but amongst the Arabs, were they known as the jinn? And they were silent. And then they're like, and she's like, they're not willing to answer that question. Wow. I was like, okay, that's quite obvious.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakallah khair, brother. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.